as every Texas fan, I think, does. I'm a big college football guy, so I follow it closely. And I remember when Quinn left Ohio State, and it was a big deal. I mean, he was highly, highly recruited. So, and this could be that year that puts him into like a top five draft pick kind of category. Hey, welcome to PayPod, where we bring you conversations with the trailblazers shaping the future of payments and fintech. My name is Kevin Rosenquist. Thanks for listening. Nicole Williamson is the Chief Strategy Officer at Zilker Media, a PR and brand strategy agency for thought leaders and the companies they lead. She has a ton of experience with social media marketing and is heavily focused on people and companies in the financial space. Her insight into how to approach marketing in 2024 is invaluable for businesses of all sizes. She lives in Austin and is a University of Texas grad, so of course, we chat a bit about football and barbecue as well. Please welcome Nicole Williamson.
If it were up to you, who's starting at quarterback for the Longhorns this fall? Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning?
That's so great. Definitely Quinn. You know, Arch will have his time. I think people forget how young he is.
That's true.
He's just barely 18. I also think people forget how young Quinn is. He was technically, I think, barely 18 or 19 when he came to us from Ohio State. So, you know, he's got the years. He's proven himself. I'm excited for him for next year. It'll be good. I have high, high hopes. Probably.
Yeah, as every Texas fan, I think, does. I'm a big college football guy, so I follow it closely. And I remember when Quinn left Ohio State, and it was a big deal. I mean, he was highly, highly recruited. So, and this could be that year that puts him into like a top five draft pick kind of category.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? You know, we just came off getting 11 draft picks last week, and which is incredible. I knew some of those guys who got to go, and, you know, that's the ceiling now. Those are the expectations. But yeah, I definitely think Quinn, Arch will be great when his time comes. Trey Owens will be great when his time comes. We've got depth for the first time. I think we should just enjoy that and respect that.
And not rush.
Next man up if possible. Yeah, let them learn and grow. And I got to go to the Sugar Bowl last year and Big 12 Championship and all that. And Quinn's got it. He's going to be great next season. I'm excited for him.
So you run a blog for Texas football, correct?
I did. It's been dead in the water for a little bit now. When I was single and had a little bit more free time. I still go to every game though. I travel to away games when I can. And
wow.
We do Texas baseball season tickets as well. So I basically, spring I'm at baseball, fall I'm at football, and July and August I'm just desperately waiting for some sports back in my life. Mm-hmm.
Just staying in the air conditioning, I suppose, right?
Yeah, sitting inside, gearing up for those hot Saturdays in September.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Are you a big writer? Do you enjoy writing?
Yeah, you know, that's where I started. Started writing blogs and social, and you know, just a small fun fact, I used to write poetry and all kinds of stuff. So it's definitely my creative outlet and what I've loved for years and how I got into social media in the first place. And yeah, I used to write about food places in Austin. This was just a hobby. This was nothing official or, you know, like it is now with influencers, nothing like that. But love writing. Don't get to do it as much as I used to. But when I, you know, now it's just Twitter. I write short tweets, so a little different.
It's X, Nicole.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
The platform formerly known as Twitter.
I can, you know what? Until the URL changes, I'm calling it Twitter.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm sticking with it as long as I can.
You and a lot of other people, so don't feel bad.
I can't make the change. I've had it since 2008. You know, it's in my brain now. It'd be like changing your child's name after how many years? 16 years? I can't do it. I know it too well.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's talk about Zilker Media. As the chief strategy officer, you create digital strategies for thought leaders, brands, real estate agents, thought leaders. I said thought leaders twice. How does building a strategy for people and companies in the finance space, which is which our listeners are active in, differ from other industries, if at all?
Yeah. you know, I've made the shift to, we're a lot more focused on the kind of banking fintech industries now. And there's things that are similar. You know, a lot of it is storytelling and sharing your authentic self and what is the heart and the core mission of, you know, maybe it's your bank, maybe it's your company, whatever it may be. And that stays true to all thought leadership. The things that vary and different are, you know, speaking to what is happening in the industry. Obviously, this whole financial world has had kind of a crazy last year or two. And those things are obviously different than other industries, and how you speak to those and how you have to really build trust, though, is what remains true across everything. Everyone's looking to build trust and gain customers through that trust. And the fastest way you do that is through that thought leadership and putting your executives at the forefront of your company to do that. And so that's why we love this for, you know, an industry that's very personal. Banking and fintech, like, this is people's finances, their personal, their business, everything's engaged in it. And it is such really an untrustworthy industry. It's so hard to do that. I think that's what we faced even a lot more now over the last year with SVB. And I think, you know, this is such a unique opportunity, and why we love it so much is getting to see that storytelling have such an impact and grow customer retention and deposit growth and all those things and buzzwords that we love so much in this space.
Finance can be stuffy, even boring to some people. How do you liven up brands that aren't as sexy as maybe an AI company or an entertainment company or sports or something like that?
Yeah. You know, I think it comes down to your people, right? So it's, people want to engage with people. So how do you showcase them? And this kind of goes beyond just sharing a new hire. It's, how are you showing the impact you're having on the community? Are you going to events? Are you donating time and resources? Are you partnering with local organizations? You know, are you featuring businesses that are clients of you that you're really proud of, that you got to be part of that? It's looking for those opportunities. You know, you have to market the things like your, you know, your product rates and your mortgage offerings and all those. That's important. But at the end of the day, what's your differentiator? Because everyone's doing that. Everyone's got an offering. It may be better than yours, actually. But it's, how do you connect with people on a different level? And how do you show that authentically? And so my favorite thing is really showcasing what people are doing in the community. How is your team giving back? You know, we work with a lot of community banks, and this is so critical to the core of who they are. They all have core values. So how are you showcasing that? How are you living what you preach internally? And that's what drives that customer retention and drives customers to be more engaged with a brand. You know, there's the fun stuff too. What is the look and feel of it? Does it look like it's something from the 90s? If yes, you might want to take a look at that. People don't want to engage with that. And they might actually question your service offerings if things are outdated, because they're going to assume your products are too.
Unless you're going for retro.
Yeah, unless you're really trying to go on the retro vibe, which is a very hard thing to do.
Sure.
And succeed at, you can do it if you hire an incredible creative team.
A lot of people try.
Yeah, they do try.
Yeah.
But some of it I can tell that there's just not been touched since you created your website back in the 90s. Yeah. And it does. It creates a mistrust there. And, you know, the generations are younger now, obviously. So they're looking for something that feels high-end. It feels like they can get an app on their phone. How do we making user accessibility easy? And they look at that. So I think it's all of it. I think it's, how are you showcasing your people and community to build trust? And how is the look and feel showcasing who you are as a company?
You mentioned the offers and things like that. I mean, I feel like a lot of times, at least for me, I just speak for myself, it's kind of in one ear out the other, or in one eye out the other. I don't know how you say it when you're reading. But like, I even think about car offers, you know, oh, this 0% financing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, is there still value in those kind of offers, or, you know, pushing those on social media?
Yeah, there is. We've seen some good success on like Facebook, Instagram ads with that. You know, there's low hanging fruit everywhere. People are looking for better opportunities, better deals. But things that create that sustainability with that customer is, what is your follow-up sequence? Are you getting someone who signs up for it and they're trying to figure things out and you're hard to get a hold of and there's no one with a high-end touch point? I don't care what size of a bank. I don't care what your assets are. If you don't have that strategy that's beyond a Facebook post or beyond a Facebook ad of what that looks like when someone comes in the door to create that really meaningful connection, none of it matters. Mm-hmm. So those things do work when those strategies are in place to really nurture and, again, build authentic relationships and connections in such a, you know, a very personal industry.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that's where a lot of people probably fail, right, is that they think once they do the social media part and they get the attention of people, they've done their job. Like there's no more, you know, then they've got them. But that's not the way. You have to keep that connection building.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If someone's just like, hey, I signed up for this, I want to transfer my money over. And they're like, great, your money's over. See you never.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going to find someone else is going to offer something better than you. They have no loyalty to that because there's no relationship.
Right.
It's harder to leave when there's a connection there that they've built with someone. And you've got to showcase that also through your social. How do you build where someone sees your face and they're like, oh, yeah, I know them. I see them in the community all the time. I trust that person. I would rather do bank with someone I trust than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that connection all the way through from every touch point.
Yeah, that's a good point about the people too, because brands aren't just about companies anymore. You know, they're often about the people at the head of those companies. And
exactly.
I think about it, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. I knew brands, I knew logos, I knew products, especially, you know, because we had to actually watch commercials back then.
Right.
Nowadays, you know, people know names like Elon Musk and Sam Altman, Tim Cook, Phil Knight. CEOs are kind of celebrities now. Like,
right.
What changed? Was it social media?
Social is a lot of it, you know, and I think there's been things that have transpired over time where, you know, companies broke trust. And I'm going to say that word a lot today. They broke trust and people were like, okay, well, I don't trust this company at all anymore. We saw this a lot in the banking space for sure. And now it's like, well, and I think influencers actually played a little bit of a role in this because people were looking at what influencers are sharing and should I buy this because I trust this person? And that's what a whole new generation has kind of grown up on. Like, hey,
right.
I'm taking my recommendations from another human and individual, not just, you know, what I see out there or a commercial that came through on my Hulu account that I now pay extra for so I don't have to see anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's those things where you've seen that. And yeah, I think it's come down to people wanting to have meaningful connections with people. And, you know, so much of things are word of mouth and relationships. Hey, I've banked with this person for 35 years. This is what they've done for me. I think they could really help you out. How many conversations like that happen all the time?
Right. Absolutely.
So it's taking those conversations that are happening like that and bringing them to social and email and starting those interactions where it feels very personable. I don't know how many times I've had those conversations. Like, well, we do marketing really well. Look at our logo. And I'm like, that is part of your marketing and your branding, but it doesn't say everything about you. And if I don't know who's working with you and I don't know these people, you know, I'm likely going to go somewhere else where I have a connection and a relationship. And so you've got to bring that to the forefront. And you're right. Things like commercials, people skip and it's, the attention span is so much shorter. Generations have grown up on social media. And I think COVID impacted this a little bit even more, or we've seen a probably bigger jump, is people are craving actual connections and relationships in every aspect of their life, not just friends, not just family. You know, you're seeing it with coworkers and colleagues. And now you want to work with businesses that have those relationships. And so I think there's been a lot of things that have played a role into it and why it's so important today.
Yeah, that's a good point about wanting actual connections and especially in an increasing digital world.
Yeah.
Of wanting to actually connect with someone, even if it is a company you really like.
Right. Yeah, you know? It's hard. You know, I don't trust a lot of people when I meet them for the first time at some weird,
what are you saying?
You know, organization. Yeah. But like if you go buy a car, you know, you don't want it to feel like everyone hates that process, right? It feels cold. you know, I'd much rather go back to the salesperson I've had a relationship with who bought and sold me my car before that, because I trust him and the process was really great. It's the same thing. You know, you hate that feeling of being overly sold to.
Right.
So it's got to be about a personal connection and education and what you're doing and what your business is doing and the impact you're looking to make. And hey, bring us your problems. You know, there's no personal banking or financial problem that we can't solve together. Let's sit down and have a conversation with that. If you do that, that's going to change the game. And then it's, what are you doing after that? How are you showcasing it openly on things like social and email marketing to show others how you built out those relationships and connections?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The connection thing is really fascinating to me because I think it's sort of amazing how many larger brands that I see on social media and smaller brands that bring on social media, you know, experts or companies or whatever, marketing companies, and they still just, all they're doing is they're just commercials. Their posts are just commercials for their services. And it's sort of like, you're kind of missing the point of what this is all about. You may as well just run an ad somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Just spend a couple thousand and run the ad. And, you know, those things will probably drive some business in, but will it last and will it maintain? And if a crisis happens, are they going to jump ship because they don't know you? You know, I saw a lot of that with the SVB stuff and with a lot of people we worked with, they stayed because those banks had taken the time to build very meaningful relationships. People called their cell phones and were like, hey, I'm really worried about this. I trust you guys. So can you talk me through what's happening right now? And they stayed and they banked with them. PPP loans. This was a big one where people really took an opportunity to help small businesses in a time of need and showcase what their core values were about and how can they feature them, and took it a step further, talked about their businesses on a bigger platform to help drive business to them. It wasn't just the loan process and funding that for them. It was, how can we get you additional business? How can we showcase who you are? Those things are so, so impactful. Why would that business ever leave them? They're like, look what you did for us. You helped us in a hard time and you talked about us and connected us with other companies and all of these things. And you shared us on your social media platforms. Wow. Like, that's really going the extra mile.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's the bank where I was at the time where I was working, our bank was really cool with that. Great. With the PPP loans, really tried to help us out. And we were a small company and, you know, they did a really good job.
Yeah. It created such a unique opportunity for people to step up. And that was COVID was obviously such a horrible nightmare, but there were moments like that where it's like, okay, this is where you can really see the good and what can be done through, you know, things like the banking industry and fintech and all these things. You can see what great things can be done when people approach business with helping people, which is why I feel like most people are in this industry, is how are we going to help and provide the best things possible for their personal and their business.
Mm-hmm. As a podcaster and content creator, I've done a lot on social media. It feels to me like platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, whatever your thing is, from my experience, it's become harder to get eyes and ears on your content.
Yeah.
And perhaps do these platforms not have the impact they once did, or am I doing something wrong? What do you see as far as the larger landscape of social media?
That's a great question. You know, we've made a lot of shifts to LinkedIn where one, it's, you know, this high touch, high target audience where we're seeing a lot of organic and meaningful content and engagement. You know, I think the things that have hurt social is them becoming pay to play networks, you know, Facebook and Instagram. If you're not paying for it, it's not going anywhere.
Yep.
That's just the reality. You know, I do Instagram personally because I have friends and, you know, I love to share when I'm at UT sporting events, which is pretty much daily, it feels like. But, you know, I think when it comes to understanding who your target is and where you can share actual meaningful content, as a thought leader, LinkedIn is what we really recommend people leaning into. Now, for your business side, it's important to have platforms where your target is. Facebook, we still see this is pretty relevant because people can leave reviews. You can give general updates. That's probably still pretty important. A LinkedIn business page is very important. I'm seeing businesses shift pretty far away from X, also known as Twitter, and shift away from a little bit from Instagram because it is such a heavy video creation platform. They've moved away from images. I think they're trying to get back to it. So, you know, LinkedIn is, people can share, your employees can engage. I think it's one of the most meaningful algorithms out there. You don't see a lot of ads. Like, you see some, but it's not what's driving that platform. And I think they've done a really, really good job. I hope they stay with that. And then Facebook, yeah, it's good to have and to maintain if that's what your customer base is relying on for information still too. Not every audience that's on Facebook is going to be on LinkedIn. You know, there's still a more kind of family sense, very personal. That's very Facebook. More of your entrepreneurs, business side is going to be on LinkedIn. So it's a great way to kind of hit both targets. I don't think you need to be on every platform. I've never believed that. Make what's do what makes sense for you and really focus in on, I usually say like two channels is perfect.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard is two to three tops. It's sort of like the old spaghetti marketing comparison, right? Throwing it at the wall, see what sticks. And
right.
And it's, yeah, if you try to be on every platform, you're not going to do any platform all that well, right?
Right. You don't have time. No one has time. And a lot of the businesses that we work with, and you know, they don't have a marketing team or the budgets to do that. And, you know, you got to really narrow in and focus. If it's the thought leadership side, you're an executive, like LinkedIn is really where you just need to spend your time. Leave Facebook to be personal, leave Instagram to be personal, you know, leave X to be about your events and sports and all of those things. Focus in on LinkedIn and just dedicate your time to that. You have very limited time as it is. On the company side, again, I really do think LinkedIn and Facebook for this type of industry is probably the ones that make the most sense. YouTube is good if you're going to do some video content. But again, the only reason you should be doing it and putting it there is to embed it on your website because it helps things like search engine optimization.
Yeah, it's hard to grow a YouTube channel. There's just so much competition.
It's hard. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's also a young audience. You know, it's hard to get older populations to look at it. It's so funny. I know so many people were like, yeah, I grew up watching YouTube. I was like, I didn't. Like, that is, I can't comprehend like that, you know. And so for us, we really use it as a tool to support Google, like search efforts, because it does have such a meaningful impact there, and embedding videos on websites. But yeah, it's, you know, for the most part, I would say it's probably third tier for me out of everything.
Now, I'm glad you brought up LinkedIn because I was going to talk about that too. It's had quite the resurgence in the past year, maybe a little more. I know even people in the marketing space are focusing on LinkedIn to build their personal brands.
Yeah.
How important is it for a fintech CEO to have an active presence on LinkedIn?
Incredibly. So important. People are looking at you and searching for you, whether you think they are or not. If you're wanting to do PR in the future and talk about your business, if you don't have a LinkedIn, you're making it very difficult.
Yeah, and I use LinkedIn for these interviews. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, if someone comes on your show and you do these things, the expectation is there that you're going to share it. Mm-hmm. Hey, we spent this time together talking about having a great conversation. I don't do this, so it just sits here. I want it to be shared, and it's you know, great for both of us, and that's why we do those things. Same thing in this. If you're talking and educating and storytelling about your business, you got to do it somewhere, and so it's got to happen on LinkedIn for that. You know, connecting with other executives and industry professionals, and having that. If you want to do speaking, it's so great to have that ready. But customers might be looking there too. Are you looking for more investors? Are you doing a capital raise? Those things matter. Like, they're looking at you. They're looking at what you're saying. They're looking how you have probably engaged with your employees. If you're sharing content, mm-hmm. Are you an active member of, you know, your fintech or company, whatever it is? They're looking at these things. And so LinkedIn, I love for this because it still has that professionalism. It can have some fun. but it's such meaningful content. And, you know, it's all about the quality. Don't have to post every day. Just start and make it meaningful and think about content that's going to help someone else and educate them on what your message is and the point you're trying to get across versus checking off a box. You know, that's what I always say. If you're just getting on to post, find a different approach. Think about what's trending. Think about what's happening in your industry and the news that you can really help someone else by sharing your perspective and point of view.
Yeah, I feel like you can kind of tell when someone is just posting to post, right? Like when they just post something and you're just kind of like, your feed is just full of them commenting on liking other people's stuff for like two words and not really saying all that much. What kind of, you know, as far as LinkedIn is concerned, what is the content that you feel drives the most engagement? Because you see a lot of different stuff, whether it's just, you know, touting a new thing that your company's doing or a new venture or a speaking engagement, or some people, of course, share inspirational videos. Every once in a while you get the, you know, someone going off the rails and political stuff. Like, obviously that's not advised, but like, what is the kind of stuff that has the most engagement in your experience?
Yeah. Video content is great. Always, you know, that pretty much reigns true across every platform at this point. 30 seconds to 2 minutes max. And it's gotta be talking about something that's industry related. You know, if you're filming a video just to talk, it's not going to go anywhere. So really think about like what you want the audience to take away, what those next steps are, and is it communicating that clearly? You know, outside what we say outside articles, so any news, trending topics, again, industry related, where you can share your point of view and perspective that's going to help educate someone, for someone, that stuff looks really, really great. Storytelling, so talking about, you know, maybe something that happened in your community, something that's happened within your organization, all of those things are really, really good. And then I love the engagement side when you're celebrating someone else. When you're celebrating your team, you know, you're sharing something about your employees, you're sharing a community event, whatever it is, awards won, those things look really, really great. And then anytime you're on press, you know, sharing videos and the audio clips and things that come from that. I will say what I am seeing on LinkedIn a little bit, and I hope it doesn't continue, is with ChatGPT, which is a fantastic tool, I'm seeing a little bit of oversaturation. I can always tell when someone uses ChatGPT and
it's doesn't pretty obvious,
edit it before they post. Never, ever just copy and paste. It's a great brainstorming tool. It's a great thing to use to get your thoughts going and share information. One, it's not always factual, but two, you know, they have a formula that they love, and it usually consists of lots of emojis and an intro and a couple bullet points. And like, it's, you can tell there's a formula to it. And so always recommend like step away from it, come back. Is this something that like people would know that I didn't write? And if you can answer that quickly, like, oh yeah, this doesn't sound like me, take another step at it and just put your own kind of words into it. But I love it as a starting point. It helps speed up that thinking process. And if writing is not, you know, something you love to do.
Yeah, or good at. Like, it is nice to have that.
Yeah, that it's a tool. Great tool for that. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, but copy and pasting it, never good.
It's definitely gotten things wrong. I've seen it before. I mean, I could have started off this interview talking about Oklahoma with you, and you would have been really upset with me.
You're right. I would. I'd be out of here. No sooner talk for me.
Shortest interview ever.
Unless you're talking about, you know, when we beat them 49-0, then I could talk about that all
day. Okay, yeah, I'm sure you could talk about that all day. Yeah, uh-huh. We'll just change the topic of the episode. How much value is there in being a thought leader? And and if you could kind of give me your definition of thought leader, it's sort of a newish term. How do you look at a thought leader, and how much value is there in being?
Yeah, I look at it from the perspective of being the on-ramp back to your business. You're a leading expert in your industry, and you being at the forefront of your company is going to drive business back to your organization. It's lead gen, it's awareness, it's, you know, customer growth, whatever you want to call it. You coming out, speaking to that, building the trust, having that connection online with someone, is going to position you to be that on-ramp back. That's how we really view it. Because again, it comes down to who do people feel connected with and that they want to work with at the end of the day. And yeah, I mean, it's so valuable. We just see so much higher conversions. We've had, you know, banks also have their own podcast or interview series where they're just talking to people in the community, or maybe, you know, they're using their social platforms to have the executives just go out and meet with people and talk business or host things in their at their branches, whatever it may be. Having, you know, a couple, it doesn't have to just be the CEO too. I always love to clarify that. Anyone can be a thought leader. And a lot of times it's not always your executive. It can be your president if those are two separate individuals. It can be someone who's more on the sales side, who is more forward facing, who meets with people, you know, private client stuff. Like, those are great people to really lead this thought leadership and be that on-ramp back, because they are who are out in the community the most. So it's just really understanding who those thought leader or those thought leaders can be for your business. At Zilker, you know, we encourage everyone to be thought leaders. Our team does speaking, our team goes out, you know, we've hosted events here. That is not just for our CEO to do, or our founder, or me. It's everyone. Everyone gets the opportunity to speak who wants to. Everybody gets a chance to connect with the community. That's what we really want to encourage, because they're all representations and they're all fantastic and they all have expertise and a point of view and can be business leaders. So we want to give everyone the opportunity to do that as much as we can.
That sounds like you guys are practicing what you preach too.
We try, yeah. You know, we can always be better. You know, there's definitely always more opportunities to have the team do more. And that's, you know, those are things we're always looking at as a leadership team, and how do we encourage that? And, you know, we ourselves need to post more on, like, I need to post more on LinkedIn. Like, if someone went looked right now, I'd be like, she doesn't post all the time. I don't. I need to be better. I will be the first to admit that. But I try, you know, the things that I love to do, celebrate my team. I work with incredible people, and that's what I love to post about is how fantastic those people are. So as much as I can do that, that's that really meaningful content and talking about clients and their wins and, you know, that's stuff that's really natural and true to who I am. And so for anybody else, it should be natural and true to who you are. You know, these executives love their team, so talk about them, share about their wins, and make that really meaningful online.
Yeah. As you know, you mentioned about posting, you need to post more. Is there, you know, you read all the social media gurus who say, oh, if you're on Instagram, you have to post this many times for reels, this many times for stories, this many times for posts and all blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, some people consider it or have called it beating the algorithm. Is there such thing as beating the algorithm? Is there a tried and true best practices, or are we all just kind of guessing?
You know, there are some best practices. The algorithm changes, though. So, you know, it's our job to keep up with those things. Instagram, man, there's changes all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a video a day at one point. You know, Facebook, the algorithm is you got to pay for it. I will stand by that. It's not going anywhere, most likely, unless you paid for it. TikTok, you've got to post like 3 times a day.
That's what I read once. Crazy. 3 times a day on TikTok. I mean, who has that much content?
Yeah. Me doing one TikTok post is like, it takes me all day.
Right.
Like,
I know what you mean.
So difficult.
I totally know what you mean.
And, you know, I'm usually just posting about my cats. So there's nothing like meaningful to that. And I'm like, this is a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
But for LinkedIn, you know, we always encourage 2 to 3 times a week. But if you're just getting started, just start with one. Start with one really meaningful post. Spend the time on it. You know, spend time engaging also with others. I think that's the part that's lost so much too, is do not just post and leave. Okay, I check that box. I'm out of here. See you next week. It's meaningfully going through, commenting, real comments, like engaging with others, you know, so excited for you. Love to learn more about this. You know, listen to your podcast. I thought it was a really great episode. I especially love when you talked about X, like making those very engaging responses does a lot of good for you too. So, you know, we always consider that you know, if you're sharing someone else's, that's a piece of content too. I also love the trending news piece on LinkedIn. I think that's really, really a great tool, because they will, LinkedIn actually has real human editors. And if you talk about one of their trending topics and it's a good quality piece, they will put you into that thread. We've had some clients be featured in that.
Oh, wow. And I didn't know that.
It's really fantastic. I love that they use humans for this. It is not a bot and it's not AI. It is actual people. So it's a good thing to just always check. You're not always going to have something to say about the topics on there. But, you know, there's a lot going on in the financial industry at all times. So there's a good chance there's going to be a trending topic soon.
Yeah.
Make your opinion about it. And if you disagree with it, that's okay. I think that's the thing that also people are scared to do, is disagree with an opinion on a trending area. If your point of view is different, that's okay. Do it in a respectful way, but share your thoughts. Like, it could create a very cool conversation from that. So
is that what people are nervous about though? Is they're afraid where the conversation might go?
Sometimes, yeah. Yep. You know, we see it a lot. And social can be, you know, it can be hostile, but yeah. I see a lot less of that. I see a lot less of that.
Understatement of the year right there.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why people have so many issues with X now, is it can be that. You know, I see people fighting on there all the time. I'm like, are you bored?
Yeah.
Do you have this much free time?
How do you have this much time? Like, I know, right. I think the same thing.
Right. So LinkedIn, it's less of that. So I think there should be less fear when it comes to that. You know, always read it again and just make sure. But, you know, yeah, have a different point of view and perspective. I actually think sometimes that works better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to don't just contribute the same ideas all the time. If your idea is different or your perspective is different, share it. Your story and your voice and your expertise is just as important as anybody else's. I think that's also the mindset shift that has to happen a lot, is, well, no one cares what I have to say. Well, actually they do. And you coming out here is going to help your business long term. So share that. People do care what you have to say and your years of experience and things that you've learned along the way.
Yeah, that's why they're following you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a lot of different directions we could go as far as AI is concerned, but we don't have that much time. So we already did talk about ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Do you like some of the other image generation and AI content creation? Do you use these tools? You know, I've messed around with some. Some are good, some are bad. Do you find use in a lot of them?
You know, I use ChatGPT the most, probably, just again as a brainstorming tool. It's a great thing for strategy use as we're building things, to just, if I'm not working with my team on something, just to get some of the creative energy flowing and out of my head into something else. Grammarly is an AI tool. I love that.
I love Grammarly.
Saves me a lot of time and a lot of sad emails that I don't have to send anymore that are maybe embarrassing with typos. I am not a huge fan of the image generators. I think they're funny when they're used as memes, but, you know, for meaningful graphic content, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've come as far yet. I would choose a actually graphic designed piece over that any day of the week. So
I agree with you on that.
I don't use anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. My other AI question that I have kind of centers around ChatGPT and any other chatbot that can search the web.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast recently when they talked about how more and more people are using ChatGPT instead of Google for search.
Uh-huh.
And admittedly, I do it pretty often. Like, you get kind of a sort of a, you know, just mix of all kinds of different things that you can find online.
Yeah.
How does that change things like SEO strategy and brand strategy? Does it put more emphasis on a website over social, since the chat box bots can't access social media accounts?
Yeah, your website should always reign supreme. Your email marketing should also reign supreme over social. That's another one we could talk about all day long.
I think there's a lot of people who don't think that way anymore. They think social can replace a website in some degree.
If anyone thinks that, I would highly, highly encourage that mindset to change. One, because, well, you're seeing what's happening with TikTok right now. It could go away.
Yeah, any day. Yeah.
And I think it's like we're on the time frame of 200 days. I'll be sad if that does happen, because I like to do the mindless scrolls.
Sure.
But
oh, I've spent a lot, way too much time on TikTok. Yeah, I'm more than I care to admit on a public forum.
Oh yeah, all the time. But same thing with Facebook. Facebook was great. You could post all the time, get all this engagement. They flipped a switch. Now you have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So we never, ever recommend that being your main source of communication. It's great. It should be part of your strategy, but it should not be the thing you live and die by. Your website should be robust. It should be user-friendly. If you've got online banking, whatever it may be, it better be easy to use, better be easy to get to on mobile. It should be mobile first, not mobile friendly. People just don't sit down on computers and do their banking or their access their financial information. They're doing it on their phones, 100%. So, and the only time that they're doing it on their computers is one, if their phone's giving them problems, or I don't know, if you're my parents who refuse to do it on their phone, who can use apps.
I do it on my computer if I'm already on my computer.
Yeah. If you're
if I'm
like
working on something
day,
and then I'm like, oh, did that deposit go through? And I want to look and, you know, like, sure. I'll do that. Yeah.
But if it's your first, like, if you're just out and your first choice, you're not going to wait to go home. You're going to do it on your phone because it's easy and it's accessible. And so we always say mobile first, not mobile friendly. And then email marketing. Yeah, we're seeing open rates in the 80% range, 60 to 80%. To give some kind of clarifying numbers around that, most email marketing for all other industries is in the 20%, 18 to 20% range. For a lot of our clients in the financial industries that we work with, we're 60 to 80% is what we see.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
It's huge.
People open their emails when it comes to financial information because it's important.
Yeah.
You'll delete the ad, you'll delete the spam, you'll delete that thing you signed up for to get the 15% off when you were online shopping. You'll delete it. What you won't delete is if your bank sends you something and it's like important information, you're going to open that. Or new product designed for you in mind. Whenever that may be, they're opening that. So get your customers' emails. Make sure you're updating those every year because their emails may change. And email them. Like, use them. Make sure if you have a product launch, send it via email. If you've got, hey, we're having to close our branches because our whole state lost power, which is a real situation that happened to us.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
You can email them. Social is great too, but email them. They may get that faster. And so that's it's got to happen in that. And so that's derailed from your initial question. But
that's okay.
For the AI side, you know, and does it impact search and all that too? Google to me still reigns supreme. They've switched to an AI format as well for their search tool. The problem with ChatGPT sometimes and search is it's saving information that people are putting in that one could be copyright.
Wait.
It could be not factual. I really cautious financial institutions who are using ChatGPT because it saves and will share your information with others if they search it properly. It stores everything in its brain. And we've got very strict policies on that here for anyone, like for our team who works with our financial clients. You know, it's a brainstorm tool. You don't put in information about them. Like, it's got to, unless it's public on their website, it's a no-go. Because it stores that information. So I just always love to give that caution. But your website should 100% be your number one priority on that long tangent.
That's all right. You brought up email, I didn't have this on my question list, but it made me think, like, where do you land on newsletters? Do you like newsletters?
I like newsletters for individuals. And I actually like LinkedIn newsletters a lot for that thought leadership executive. What I don't feel like it's necessary for is probably your bank ongoing or your financial institution. They're not going to read that most likely.
Yeah.
You want to make sure it's very meaningful when you're taking the opportunity to do that. You want to build, like, every time I get an email from them, it's important. And they're not just telling me about who they hired, like, or whatever it may be. So you want to make it very, very strategic in your approach to that. But you really should have a touch point probably every month. So again, is it an update? Is it, our outlook? Is it community focused and oriented? Here's how we were out in the community this month. That is a little different. But when it comes to just a newsletter to kind of sing the praises of the bank or your financial org. I don't love that quite as much because I don't think people are probably relying on that as much.
Yeah, the probably open rate for something. I mean, I get one from my, I have a small bank and I get I get a newsletter. I don't read it.
Right.
But I do love newsletters. Like I read a lot of newsletters for news, Marketing Brew, Morning Brew, like some of those, I love them. But some of them I'm just like, why do you have a newsletter? That doesn't really make sense.
Right. And so like the ones you just brought up, I read Marketing Brew too. Well, we're in this industry. It impacts us. It affects us. We're learning, we're gaining knowledge.
Sure.
So when, for this, you know, if you're just kind of talking about some general updates or what's happening that month at a very basic level, it's not going to do a whole lot. It's probably not going to lead to conversions. Like, is it going to drive deposits? Probably not. So you want to be strategic with it, get their attention and make it a meaningful email so you're getting actual meaningful results. Because it is such a, it's such an impactful tool. So you don't want to spam them where they drop off. And then you are now subject to calling them when you want to share information. Because if they unsubscribe, even if they're a customer of the bank, you can't hear, your hands are tied. You can't email them anymore.
Yep. Good point.
Yeah.
Final question. I've only been to Austin once and I loved it, but I didn't make it to Franklin's Barbecue as much as I'm a big barbecue guy. Have you been there? And if so, do I need to go there next time I'm there?
This is probably my hot take that may not make a ton of Austin people happy. Is not my favorite. I don't think it's worth the line.
2 hours, I've heard, right?
It's crazy. It was on my bucket list before I graduated UT. And so, you know, I had, again, more free time and finals were over. So I spent like a Tuesday morning in line and waited forever. The food was fantastic. I mean, the brisket is pretty life-changing, but the trick is you can get Franklin's brisket at a place here called Loro, L-O-R-O.
Okay.
And that's really the best thing that they have. And there's no lines and it's so much better. So to go about it that way. I like Salt Lick. That's not a fan favorite of everyone, but the vibes are great and the sauce is good. So I would rather have Salt Lick if I had to pick.
All right. Well, I appreciate the recommendation because I do. I love barbecue, and obviously Franklin's is sort of the one everybody talks about. So
it is. It's the holy grail here. I will say that there's more and more coming up. And Terry Black, man, they're kind of taking over everything. But Black's Barbecue, if you want to drive just a little bit out to Lockhart, that is like the OG. It's fantastic. It's very, very good. It's very small town, very cool. But I will say, if you're ever here again, you have to eat at Matt's El Rancho. It's my diehard restaurant. I'm there at least once a week. I will live and breathe that place.
Is it barbecue?
It's not. It's Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. No. Gotcha. Tex-Mex too. So I like it.
Yeah. So good.
Well, Nicole Williamson with Zilker Media. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you being here and I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. Same here. Thank you so much for having me.